from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
And you've made it pretty clear throughout that the name's not a priority right now. Is there any research that you have being done to see if the name is resonating with fans more than it was initially, or is that something that matters to you at all if it is growing in popularity?
It does matter. I just think that, and certainly, we've been very clear, we can't, for obvious reasons, the old name can't come back. But right now, we're focused on things that unify the team around our football team, right? And unify the city around our football team. And so, you know, the first objective is we got to start winning football games. And we need everyone supporting the team and not things that might, you know, drive people apart. Secondly, obviously, you know, we're trying to find a new home. And again, unifying the city around that is important. And so, and, you know, the name is one of those things that, like, a lot of opinions. But, I mean, I can't say, I've certainly not forgotten. I mean, like I said, I grew up here, okay, so I understand it. And, you know, we brought back, we're going to start to do things that bring us back to our heritage, honoring our past. You know, the gold, you saw the gold pants. Those are easy things to do. So we are doing research and we're thinking about it. But, like, right now we're prioritizing the things that we've talked about. And that's kind of the rationale for it.
That was Josh Harris yesterday prior to the final preseason game. Holding a media conference, Grant Paulson, good job for Grant, and by Grant, asking him a question nearly 20 minutes into a 23-minute press conference. By far and away, you know, I guess it would depend on your social media network or your social group, you know, that you discuss things with, but by far and away, the most discussed Q&A from that press conference. But there was a lot to Josh Harris's press conference, including a lot of stuff on the stadium that we will get to as well. Look, the bottom line is, and I feel you, I do, that his answer was not acceptable to most of you. But I'll say what I've said before. You know, when he says that there are obvious reasons on why the name can't come back, I do think that those obvious reasons are obvious to him, and they are obvious to certain people in the media, perhaps the media at large. And those reasons would be essentially they paid $6 billion for the team, and they're not going to enter into a situation where they bring back the controversy associated with the name. I would also add, I don't think the league or the league's major sponsors would either allow it or would be accepting of it. So those are the obvious reasons. He could do a better job of explaining what those obvious reasons are for the people that it's not so obvious for. But what I've said to you guys before, this discussion isn't going to become specific until there is a direction and a path to a stadium, hopefully in Washington, D.C., And we are perhaps a few months away from even knowing if that's possible, because he talked about, you know, the election being the focus and really this not being addressed perhaps until after the election during the lame duck period of the Congress, post-election and before inauguration in mid to late January. But we're not going to see him get specific because, of course, they can walk and chew gum at the same time. Talented and productive people can do a lot more than one thing at a time, and they are doing more than one thing at a time. And he even acknowledged to a certain degree that they have certainly looked into it and they understand it to be an issue. They understand it to be a big issue, but we're not going to get anything specific, trust me, until the stadium path is clear and all of the political ramifications to any sort of conversation about a potential name change is over. And those people are out of the picture. We'll get into his answer in a little bit more detail coming up. Good morning, everybody. We had our first real football Saturday. It wasn't that great, although the Georgia Tech Florida State game. Denton, that was a hell of a game. That was as clean a game for the first game of a season that I can remember. There were no turnovers. There were hardly any penalties. Now, there were a couple of gaffes, a near major gaffe at the end of the first half with the clock. I thought the referees screwed up big time at the end before the game-winning field goal because I think the play before the game-winning field goal went out of bounds, which would have left 40-plus seconds on the clock for Florida State. But overall, that was a good football game. Of course, we were right about Georgia Tech plus the points. I'm just upset I didn't give it out as a smell test pick on Friday. But I had them. I did not play them on the money line. Did you?
No, I didn't play them on the money line. I probably should have. I feel like that. I phrased it the other day. I feel like the dumbest idiot or the smartest idiot in the world because I said that Georgia Tech was going to cover, but to avoid them on the money line. And of course, they cover and then they win the actual game.
Yeah.
I mean, man, DJU.
Yeah, but you know what? On that last drive, he came up huge. And I'm not a DJU fan either. But that touchdown drive in which they converted, you know, what, four third downs and a fourth down on that drive. Two fourth downs. And by the way, both of the fourth downs were longer fourth downs. I think one was a fourth and seven. The other one was like a fourth and nine. He's not a good quarterback. You and I have not been DJU fans at Clemson, at Oregon State, and we didn't like the Florida State adding him. But I have to give him credit on that final drive because he made some plays, some really time plays. I'm looking at that final drive right now. They converted a third and 10. They converted a fourth and 7. They converted a fourth and 8 on that final drive. That's big time with the game on the line in the fourth quarter down 21-14. And then their defense could not get off the field because Haynes King played really well for Georgia Tech, converting a couple of third downs before that final one. You thought, by the way, I'm assuming you thought that that last play was definitely out of bounds and the clock should have stopped, right?
Yeah, I did. I'm not upset about it, though, because I wanted Georgia Tech to win. But I definitely think the refs, they missed on that one.
Yeah, I mean, would DJU have taken them down the field with no timeouts and, you know, 40 seconds left in the game or whatever it would have been? To get into field goal range, I don't know, but 40 seconds is 40 seconds. You would have had the time. How about this in the Georgia Tech Florida State game? You probably knew this. I did not. They're not referring to the 2-minute warning, which for those of you who didn't see any of the first college football games of the year, they have implemented a 2-minute warning end of first half, end of game. Remember last year we eliminated the clock stoppages on first downs prior to the final 2 minutes of the half in game. And now we've got a 2-minute warning added to it, but they refuse to call it the 2-minute warning. In college, it's called the 2-minute timeout. Did you know that? It's actually a bit annoying.
It's
they
very
just don't
annoying.
Want to look like the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know why they call it a 2-minute timeout instead of 2-minute warning. One of the guys on the broadcast was like, "This is a way better name," and I was like, "No, it's not. The 2-minute warning is a great name. I don't know why they feel the need to call it something different."
It's not a better name. It's not, and it'll be confusing for a little bit because people will say, "Well, who called the timeout with 2 minutes left?" You know, what do you mean it's a 2-minute timeout? And it's the 2-minute warning, people. It's fine. The college football now has a 2-minute warning, end of the first half, end of the game. But I thought for the first college football game of the year, played in Dublin, first of all, the field conditions were much better than they've been in recent years for some of these games. In part because, I don't know, maybe the weather leading up to it wasn't as bad as it's been in recent years. And then I just thought it was a really cleanly played football game for the first game of the year. I thought it was a fairly well-coached game by both teams. The only play at the end of the first half, when they, you know, with no timeouts left, they nearly ran with one timeout left. They nearly they had multiple timeouts left, but they nearly ran the clock out before they got the field. They got that timeout with 1 second to go on that play because that run before the end of the first half was long, and then that guy Fitzgerald knocked through a 59-yard field goal. But Florida State, look, it's now with a 12-team playoff, you're not done. You're not done, but they play Clemson, they play Miami, they play Notre Dame, they end the season with Florida. Not a good loss to open up the season for the team that really felt screwed last year. I watched the entire game day. They just booed Kirk Herbstreit throughout. I didn't remember specifically before. He was an advocate that Florida State shouldn't be in the playoff, clearly, right?
Yeah, he was big-time anti-Florida State last year.
Yeah. Well, this week we get some real football all weekend long, starting Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday night, and then that leads into the first NFL week of the season. Some really, really interesting matchups, college football, week one. What they call what just took place week zero. But we get to see Dion on Thursday night as Colorado faces North Dakota State. Not an easy game. North Dakota State powerhouse in D2. Oh, here's something I wanted to ask you, and I don't want to forget. Now that there is a playoff system, an expanded playoff system, can we just go back to D1, you know, D1 and D1AA? The whole FBS, FCS thing has been so confusing to so many people for so long.
I understand what you're saying, but there is like a legit D2. So like I don't mind FBS
and
FCS,
but that's why the North Dakota States and the JMUs were always 1AA.
Do you think the 1AA would be more confusing? I almost feel like that would be more confusing.
I got very used to it over a long period of time. I understood the difference between 1AA and 1A and 1AA and D2, and then D2 and D3.
Yeah, I'm too used to FBS FCS. That would confuse me now.
Okay. There you go. That's settled, I guess. Colorado and Dion, who's in a war with media out in Boulder and Denver. He opens up with North Dakota State on Thursday night. Looking forward to that one. Friday night, no good games Friday night, really. I mean, Oklahoma's playing, but they're like a massive favorite. TCU, Stanford, which, by the way, is a TCU against an ACC team. And then, my God, Saturday at noon, Clemson, Georgia, Penn State, West Virginia at noon, 3:30, Miami and Florida, a big part of that window. And then on Saturday night, you get Texas A&M hosting Notre Dame. And I'm assuming that's the game day site, right? College Station?
Yeah, it should be College Station.
I think it is.
I wouldn't mind it if it's in there for the Miami-Florida game, but I think it's College Station.
I think Morgantown would have been the best spot for it.
If WVU was ranked, I bet they definitely would have gone to Morgantown.
Yeah, maybe. Maryland opens up Saturday against UConn at home in College Park. They are 20-point favorites. So, Look, we're gonna get to the game last night. We're gonna talk about some of the things, and I'll have, you know, a mini breakdown recap of the final preseason game in which all of the starters, expected starters, did not play at all. I think probably the most intriguing thing going into the game was Cade York, who was 2 for 2. The kickoff and the punt return stuff, which didn't necessarily clear anything up last night. And then just to see Jacoby Brissett and Drake May on the other side. Jacoby Brissett, I thought, looked okay and then got hurt. He and Antonio Gibson, there were more players that had played more games on that. Well, actually, Brissett didn't really play that much. He got injured. Drake May apparently very much in the hunt now as a possibility to start the opener for the Patriots. And their opening game in week one, they play the Cincinnati Bengals on the road. That's the biggest point spread right now of week one. Cincinnati's a 9-point favorite. Drake May has a chance to start. I thought he looked okay, but again, it's preseason. Washington did not have a defensive starter on the field. The Jamin Davis answer from Dan Quinn about the roster spot was an interesting one. It is very possible, and I would just say keep it locked here all day on the Team 980, theteam980.com. Download the Odyssey app to listen that way as well, that the cut down from 90 to 53 starts today, and we will get news of cuts today, and then tomorrow the deadline's at 4. Look, this group's never been together, so I don't know how they do it, but we'll start to see cuts come out today. And remember, and this is very important, because I think there's going to be some fluidity to the Washington final roster prior to Tampa Bay. In fact, there will be a lot of fluidity as you get through week one and veteran contracts aren't guaranteed after the first week. There, I think the first couple of weeks of the season, we're going to see a lot of roster movement for this team with waiver wire claim position number 2. You don't want to be in that position every year, but you want to take advantage of it if you are. And you get that opportunity with a flood of players hitting the open market. And from some of these really good teams, some good players, and perhaps, and more likely than not, some players that are better than the players on this roster will be available for Washington to claim before anybody else claims them. Remember what the waiver wire rules are, because this is big, right? Because we haven't been in this position since 2020. We've been in this position pretty high up in the draft, but the rules are essentially that Carolina, worst record in the league last year, will have first dibs on players who are waived, and then Washington gets second dibs, and you go through that process all the way down to the team that had the best record last year in the league, and it remains that way through the first 3 weeks of the season, regular season, until then, and then it reverts to what the current records and the current standings look like after 3 weeks. Now, players who have 4 years accrued in the league are not eligible to be claimed off waivers. They become unrestricted free agents. So you're talking about younger players that you can claim off waivers. When you claim them, it's really important to note this. They actually have to move onto your 53-man roster. You're not claiming them to put them on your, you know, expanded, as we know now since we went to 17 games, expanded and much larger practice squad. You claim a player off roster, off waivers, you have to cut somebody from your 53-man roster. But still, going to be interesting to see what happens with this roster this week. All right. Dan Quinn spoke yesterday. Josh Harris for 23 minutes prior to the game. We've got all of that sound to get to, but I'm going to give you a quick final preseason recap of the New England game, some of the players that stood out for good reasons, some of the players that stood out for not so good reasons, and we will go from there. Busy day here on the show, busy week this week, especially tomorrow and Wednesday when those players flood the market after cuts. Remember, this didn't used to happen this way. There used to be multiple cut down dates, so it was staggered. You know, you got the first one, you know, mid to late August, and then there was a second, there was a third, then it got down to two, and now we do it all in one fell swoop. 37 players released from 32 teams tomorrow by 4 p.m. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Kevin's take. The good, the bad, and the ugly from yesterday's Washington Commanders game.
Let's go! Let's go!
Here's Kevin.
God, I hate doing this after preseason games, but this is the last one for 2024, especially the third preseason game. Look, Dan Quinn said there were, you know, when I had him on last week, five to seven spots, you know, open, but that the roster would be very fluid during the first few weeks of the season. So keep that in mind. This roster is going to be more than half turned over, much more than half. And I think when we get to opening day against Tampa, more than half of the players starting or, you know, in roles in which they essentially are starters, you know, which would include nickel corner and slot receiver, even if they're not out there on the opening drive. It's going to be more than half of, say, the 24 to 25 players that you would perceive as starters, or right around half. The first thing to me, it was interesting to hear Dan Quinn say after the game that he thought that they were a little tight in the first half. Okay, that's fine. My observation was what it was last week and against the Jets. And I think it's a good sign, although I will tell you, I think there were times during the Ron Rivera era that they were flying around on defense and special teams in the preseason as well. But I think the one consistent theme to the discussion about the kind of football team that he wants, Dan Quinn and Adam Peters actually have both talked about the relentless, competitive, high-motored, physical player. That's what, how many times has he said since he took over, what you're going to come away with in this first season is you're going to say, these guys compete hard, they play with a ton of energy, they play with a relentless motor, and this is the player trait. you know, and I'm quoting, air quoting it, player trait that he had, that he and Adam Peters were looking for in the players that they brought in and the players that were here that they were going to decide to keep. You know, very much kind of a 49er mentality to the players on the team. The 49ers do play at a level energy-wise, you know, high motor-wise that is different. You know, the difference is you can't really quantify, but you know, when you watch Deebo Samuel and Fred Warner and some of their players, it's just playing to the whistle. I mean, Juwan Jennings, you know, Jay Gruden said maybe the greatest wide receiver blocker in the history of the game, and that no team has ever had a better group collectively of wide receivers who block than the current 49ers. And this is what they are looking for. And to me, watching last night, I had the same feeling that I had against Miami and the same feeling I had against the Jets, and that is that the players that they put out there are playing with a high level of enthusiasm and energy, and they're high-motored. Look, a lot of those players last night are playing not only for perhaps jobs here, but playing to put, you know, tape resume out there. So it's, in many cases, their last in a desperate attempt to stay in the league. So you better see that from some of those players. But that stuck out to me all three of the preseason games. In terms of players, so, to be honest with you, I think the most impressive player of the night was Antonio Gibson on the other side. I was always the biggest Antonio Gibson guy. He averaged nearly 6 yards a carry on 3 carries. I think Gibson has a chance still. How old is Gibson now? Is he 26, 27, somewhere around there? I still think Antonio Gibson has a chance to be a really good NFL back. He's playing on a team that should be a pretty bad team. But to me, the player that actually stood out the most last night was Antonio Gibson. He had 3 catches for 3 rushes for 17 yards and a catch for 13 yards. He was overthrown on another one by Jacoby Brissett, who actually you could see, you know where Brissett processes very quickly. I don't care that he was playing, you know, second, third stringers. You know, there's an all-out blitz early on a third down, and that ball just came out beautifully to Gibson to beat the blitz. And that's where, you know, Brissett, the big difference last year with Brissett and Howell is Brissett processes quickly. He's a veteran, too. He's been around, understood. And Howell really didn't. I thought Drake May, man, he is athletic. There's no doubt about that. You know, in the conversation about Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, you know, I think sometimes people overlooked. We talked about loving Drake May's athleticism, and he's bigger and stronger. I thought Drake May, you know, for what it was, again, not playing against anybody that's going to play week one defensively for Washington. I mean, maybe a player or two that'll, you know, sub in. But I actually thought he played well. But enough on the Patriots. So for Washington, there were a couple of players that just kind of stood out. Again, who you playing? What's the situation? I like Michael Wiley as a running back. I don't know if he's going to make this team or not. But overall, I think he has shown really decisive, quick vision, really good spatial awareness, and hard running. You know, he had 7 carries. The fact that he got 7 carries last night in the final preseason game, I don't know if that's a good sign that he's going to make the team. But 7 carries, 26 yards, and a touchdown. He looks like a guy that should be on an NFL roster to me. Again, I have no idea whether he makes this roster, but for 3 straight games, Michael Wiley, you know, has stood out to me as a back that has excellent vision and can play a little bit in the league. He also had, you know, that a couple of receptions, but he had the touchdown run that gave him the 13-10 lead in the fourth quarter. just hold off on Driscoll. God, I can't believe how many Driscoll tweets I was reading before the show today. Some of you guys just can't stand Mariota. But I will get to Driscoll, I promise, here in a moment. But on the list of things that I liked, the overall hustle, Wiley. Look, Martavis Bryant's a big-ass target. I mean, he's 6'4 and a half, 6'5. He's got hands. I thought there was some interesting comments made about him by Dan Quinn, who just really does have, I think, a real grasp on people. And, like, I think Dan Quinn's overall EQ is probably much higher than his IQ. I'm not saying that he's not a high IQ person, but I think one of the reasons he's been so effective in the league is he just really has an ability to communicate with people, but really read people. And I thought he had a very interesting answer, and you'll hear it a little bit later on Martavis Bryant. But I thought Bryant looked good, and I was kind of happy for him to see it. Three catches in the game, including the one that kind of iced the game, I guess, if you want to call it that, at the end. Look, Cade York had one responsibility last night, and that was not to miss. And he was 2 for 2. And then to not, you know, kick it through the end zone on any of his kickoffs, and he didn't do that. So I would imagine that Cade York has a chance, depending on what happens here, to be on the final 53-man roster. And then my guess would be that, you know, they would look to potentially add some kickers to the practice squad to compete during the week, during the first couple of weeks. We'll see. There may be somebody that they've had their eye on. You know, right last night, Joey Sly, this is a field goal kicking competition for the Patriots. Joey Sly was 0 for 2, but they were 60 and 64-yard attempts. Chad Ryland made his one kick and one extra point. He was a fourth-round pick, but by the last regime, Bill Belichick. Ryland's actually a very talented kicker, but struggled last year as a rookie. So Cade York did what he was supposed to do. So he's on the list of things that I liked from the game last night. There's been a player that has stood out to me and stood out to me occasionally in recent years. I like Castro Fields. I like number 26, Castro Fields. I think he can play a little bit. And I thought last year when he had opportunities in a few games that he played well too. He's aggressive. He's one of those guys that flies around. Jeremy Reeves really flies around at the safety position. But I kind of like 26. I don't know what his chances are of making the team. He was out there last night for, you know, a bunch of the game. But I think he has actually shown well in the games. Have no idea what he's looked like during practice. Another player, and I'm kind of predisposed to some of these players that I kind of liked last year, but I also think have played well in this preseason, and I thought he was good again last night, and that was KJ Henry. Now, the sack was an unblocked sack early in the game. They clearly missed an assignment. Looked like the back missed the call. And KJ Henry sacked Jacoby Brissett. I don't know, was that the play that Brissett was hurt on? I don't know. But I think 55 KJ Henry is quick twitch and has the ability to rush the passer. I thought that Phil Mathis, for whatever it's worth, because I know a lot of people kind of expect Phil not to make the team. If you've been listening to Quinn talk about Phil Mathis, talk about Jamin Davis, a few other guys, you know, Emmanuel Forbes didn't play last night. So anybody that thought that Emmanuel Forbes wasn't going to make the team, obviously that's been off for a while. I don't think anybody that's followed this closely actually believed that was a possibility. But Big Phil, who was their second round pick in 2022, had played a lot of snaps, but was an older player and also was another one of those, you know, potential reaches in the second round by the Ron Rivera regime. I thought he had some of his best moments of the preseason last night. I also thought that Mitch Tinsley, who had dropped a couple of balls, I think, in the first two preseason games, I thought that he played well last night. Remember last year during the preseason, you know, he showed well. He's another guy that has a bigger radius. I don't know what this wide receiver room is going to shake out. Ben's going to join us at 12, and we'll really focus in on the 53-man roster. By the way, I thought Chris Rodriguez did a good job catching the football and running with the football. Who else did I have on this list? Oh, Tress Way had a really outstanding night punting the football. He's been on the list, right, for several years. Oh, John, I thought Ridgeway and Phil Mathis, I don't know if it's going to come down to one of the two of them, but I thought Ridgeway and Phil Mathis actually both showed a little bit. In terms of some of the things that stood out from a negative standpoint, look, Kaz Allen, I don't know what they're going to do here. He was back pretty much, I think, on every punt return and every kickoff return. He ended up having one punt return for no yards, had a couple of decent fair catches, had a couple of good fake fair catches where the ball went into the end zone. His one kickoff return was 23 yards. You know, not a lot of opportunities last night. I don't know what they're going to do. This will be a conversation at noon with Ben. They clearly believe that Kaz Allen has game-breaking potential. He has not had great production in these preseason games, including last night at running back where he got another two carries and got a couple of catches out of the backfield. His two carries were for 2 yards. There wasn't much running room on either play, to be fair to him. But this is a player that they really want, clearly, to be on the final 53. Let's see what happens. I think, you know, the punt return spot, I think they really would love to have Kaz Allen be kickoff returner, punt returner, and then add another kickoff returner next to him. I don't know if that would be Pringle. I think that right now he's got a chance to be that guy. But if Kaz Allen, if they decide we just weren't convinced in the actual preseason games, then I think it's Crowder as the punt returner. And then we'll see on kickoff returns. I would imagine Pringle and I don't know. Weird situation. I mean, when I asked Quinn about it when he was on with us last week, it was very, very clear that this was a murky area still. You know, there are a couple of areas. You know, depth at corner, depth at receiver, punt return, kickoff return. I'm sure they have some leans, but I think the leans really on kickoff and punt return, they were hoping turned into definites, and it was going to be number 10, Kaz Allen. But he certainly didn't do it in the actual games, but apparently he looks dynamic everywhere else. So, we'll see. Big cutdowns, lots of players that'll be available Tuesday after 4. You have, by the way, I believe 24 hours to make that claim on the players that got released. I think that's the rules. The waiver wire allow here. I've got the rules in front. The waiver wire allows teams to submit claims for qualifying players that have previously been cut by other teams, including. Organizations usually have 24 hours to do so, but the window is a bit shorter on cutdown day, so let me amend that. Final cuts take place 4 p.m. Tuesday. Teams only have until noon on Wednesday to submit claims to a player's right. So actually, they don't have 24 hours. They have 20 hours to do that. All right, I do want to just get into Jeff Driskel a little bit in this idea that a lot of you believe you are watching a guy that should be the backup to Jaden Daniels. He's played well in the preseason. He's not played very well at all in the regular season. We'll talk about that, and then you'll hear a few things that Dan Quinn said about last night. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app, and all of our coverage on the Team 980 is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Major League Baseball, Nats beat the Braves 5-1 on Sunday. DJ Hertz pitched 5 innings and struck out 8. CJ Abrams went 2-5 at the plate with 2 RBI. The Yankees are in town tonight, and it's a big night because you'll see the debut of number 2 overall pick Dylan Cruz. He's coming up for the Nationals. It'll be his first game in the majors. They're taking on the Yankees, and the Yankees are led by Aaron Judge, who's currently on pace to break the AL home run record that he set 2 years ago of 62 homers. He hit number 50 and 51 on Sunday. In the NFL, Nick Chubb to start this season on the PUP list in Cleveland, meaning he's out at least the first 4 games of the season. And yesterday, the Commanders announced they are planning to have a proper statue for Sean Taylor. So gone is that see-through mannequin thing. They're going to build something proper to honor the legacy of Sean Taylor. And that's what's trending.
This from Nick. Nick asks, what do you mean that you can't keep a veteran on the roster week one? That's not what I said. What I said is, and you'll hear Dan Quinn refer to it, this is something that we only get to once a year, and it's this time of year. When a vested veteran player, meaning 4 years of accrued service, is on the roster week one, his salary for that season is guaranteed. So a lot of times teams might cut a veteran player who has 4 years of accrued season only to bring that player back or attempt to bring that player back in week two, where then the contract is not guaranteed for this season. So that's, you know, a lot of that is in play in the maneuvering this time of year, especially when you have a roster with a lot of fluidity to it, which is what Dan Quinn has essentially referred to the back end of this roster anyway. So you'll see that as a possibility here as well. All right. My guy Gregory, who writes, it's very obvious that Jeff Driskel is an NFL backup quarterback. Why wouldn't they go with him over a Mariota who's never healthy and quit on his team in Atlanta? Yeah, a lot of you have loved the way Jeff Driskel has played, you know, in these preseason games. He was good last night. He threw an interception. It was a bad interception. I think it was. I don't know. Maybe the receiver didn't sit down where he was supposed to sit down. I don't know. It didn't look like a really good interception. He was 12 of 18 for 73 yards. Love the way Trace McSorley played. I should have mentioned him a little bit more. I mean, he basically rushed for 40 yards and threw for a buck 25 and just was scrappy and playmaking all over the field. Actually should have really mentioned him my game take on the things that I liked. Look, I've said this a couple of times. Marcus Mariota is going to be on the roster. I don't know if Jeff Driskel is or not. They might keep 3 quarterbacks. Remember, you can have that 3rd quarterback now available to play, even though he's not on the 46-man final roster, because of the new rule they put in after the NFC Championship game in Philadelphia 2 years ago when the 49ers lost Brock Purdy, then lost, was it Josh Johnson? I think it was Josh Johnson, and then Christian McCaffrey was playing quarterback at the end of an NFC Championship game. Nobody wants that. And so now you've got a quarterback, an emergency quarterback, that is available on game day if you lose your first 2. Not everybody carried 3 quarterbacks last year. Washington didn't carry 3 quarterbacks last year. It was Sam and Brissett, right? I think they had some on the practice squad. I forget. Maybe they did have a 3rd quarterback. I think Driskel's done very well in the preseason against largely players who are either going to be on the back end of rosters or not be on anybody's roster when we get to real football. Here's the bottom line with Jeff Driskel, who's been around for a while now, okay? He's 31 years old. His overall completion percentage career-wise is 58.6%. Do you know how bad that is in today's NFL? He has a quarterback, a QBR. The best QBR season he had when he played and or started, he has started 11 games in 6 NFL seasons with Cincinnati, Detroit, Denver, Houston, and Cleveland. His best QBR season, he started 3 games for Detroit in 2019, was 49.9. In Denver, when he started a game and played in 3, he had a sack percentage of 14.7%. He's a younger player then, all right, that's fine. In the games in which he has started, largely on bad teams who weren't doing very well, so I'll give you that, 1-10. Like, there's nothing Jeff Driskel has done in the regular season that should have you standing on a table saying, let's keep Jeff Driskel and get rid of Marcus Mariota, who has played a lot more football, is important to Jaden Daniels, as we know, and is just, you know, overall has been a better NFL quarterback as an NFL quarterback playing actual games against real NFL teams in the regular season. It's just night and day. Now, that doesn't mean that Driskel's best days aren't ahead of him. We know how this quarterback position works. It's crazy. You suck, and then all of a sudden you get in a decent situation, and you're not as bad. They paid Marcus Mariota not a lot of money, 1 year, $6 million. They did guarantee $5.4 million, $5.387 million of the six. And all they've talked about is that quarterback room with him being a big part of it. Mariota is going to be on the roster. The question is whether or not Driskel's going to be on the roster. I think he's run around a lot. He's definitely mobile. You know, he can really move and he can play make. And by the way, he's probably another guy in the room that they love having there. Jaden's mentioned Driskel. Now, he's mentioned Mariota a lot more than Driskel in terms of the mentoring and the help. But he's mentioned Driskel a couple of times. You know, that these veteran quarterbacks, Driskel at 31 years old, Marcus Mariota at 30 years old, are kind of looking after him. So we'll see. I mean, they got a lot of coaches, you know, on this roster that are pretty damn good when it comes to, you know, quarterbacks and offense of football. I mean, you start with, obviously, Cliff Kingsbury as an offensive coordinator. But you got this guy, David Blau, who's an assistant quarterbacks coach that he played in the league recently. Everybody that talks about David Blau, and I don't know how much of it's been that we've heard in any of these pressers. I'm sure somebody has said something about David Blau, that this dude is within 3 years from being an OC and within 5 years of being a head coach. He's apparently gifted, and he's played in the league recently. You obviously have a guy like Anthony Lynn on the offensive staff. Now, he's heading up the run game thing, but you talk about a guy that's been around some big-time quarterbacks. Tavita Pritchard is there. There's a lot of, you know, grown-ups with experience on this staff. By the way, mentioning, you know, probably should mention Dan Quinn as well. So they've got a lot there. So it's not like you need to add to it with players. Mariota's, if he's not on the roster, it's because he's injured and it's a little bit more serious and they're going to move him to some sort of injured reserve. But it didn't sound like last week when Quinn was talking about Marcus Mariota that he was going to be put in that kind of a position. So yeah, Driskel's been great preseason. Okay, he's been a very subpar regular season quarterback when he's gotten opportunities. Not on good teams, rough situations, understood. You know, there are plenty of guys that probably in different situations, getting drafted by better teams, getting a chance to play with better supporting casts, would have better overall career numbers in real games than Jeff Driskel. I'm just telling you that it hasn't been pretty when it's actually been against NFL players that are playing versus mostly players that aren't going to be on rosters come opening day. Whew, thank God we're at the end of this time of year. So Dan Quinn had a lot to say after the game that I thought was interesting. He talked about this process coming up, the 53-man roster. He also talked about Jamin Davis, and I thought one of the quotes, because I think a lot of you believe Jamin Davis is teetering, you know, very much bubble. I thought he had a comment where at the very end of it, it was pretty telling on what they're going to do with Jamin Davis. You will hear that and everything else he said. We'll get to all of Josh Harris's comments. He held a press conference pretty much a State of the Union kind of press conference before the game last night out at FedEx Field, which I heard looked spectacular. And he addressed a lot of things, obviously the name, which we talked about at the beginning of the show, and the stadium situation, the Sean Taylor mannequin, Dick's Sporting Goods mannequin thing, and what they're planning on doing with that. So there was a lot there. We'll get to all of it. Ben Standing will join us at noon on the show today. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.